Oh, gracious and loving Father, today we give you thanks for the fathers and the grandfathers, the mentors, the spiritual fathers who've reflected your love in our lives. We thank you for those who taught us to walk by faith, who showed us courage in difficult seasons, who worked and sacrificed and prayed for those entrusted to their care. Yet, Lord, we also recognize that Father's Day carries many different emotions. Some among us rejoice in those cherished memories of times with their fathers. Some carry grief because a father is no longer here. Some carry wounds from relationships that were strained or broken or completely absent. Lord, we thank you that wherever our earthly experiences may fall short, you remain the perfect Father whose love never fails. Merciful God, we come before you in confession today. This morning we'll hear the parable of the prodigal son again. Like the younger son in the story, many of us we've wandered from your will. We've sought our own way. We've trusted our own wisdom and pursued things that promised satisfaction, but left us empty. We confess that there are times when we've taken your blessings and for granted while forgetting the one who truly provided everything for us. And we're also confess that sometimes we're like the older brother. We confess that we carry resentment and pride and self-righteousness. We compare ourselves to others. We keep score. We struggle to celebrate grace when it's extended to someone who we believe doesn't deserve it. So, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Forgive us for every time we've run from you. Forgive us for every time we've stood outside the celebration of your grace. Bring us once again to our senses and draw us back into your house. Thank you that while we were still long away, Lord, you came running to us through Jesus Christ. Thank you that your love is greater than our failures. Your mercy is deeper than our sins. Your grace is stronger than our shame. Today we've lifted before you the prayers of your people. We pray for fathers and grandfathers. Lord, strengthen them to lead with humility and courage, with patience and faith. Help them to reflect your heart in their homes and in their communities. We pray for those who are grieving. Surround them with your comfort and peace, Lord. We pray for families who are carrying broken relationships. Bring healing where there's hurt, forgiveness where there's bitterness, and reconciliation where there's been division. And Lord, we pray for those who feel lost, feel alone, who feel that they're just so far away from you. Remind them that your eyes are still watching the road and your arms still remain open when they return. We pray for those facing illness, recovery from surgery, undergoing treatment, battling anxiety, depression, or uncertainty. Lord, grant healing and strength and hope. We pray for our church. Lord, we pray that Backroads may always be a place where the prodigals are always welcome. Let us be the church where grace is always celebrated and where lives are transformed through the power of Jesus Christ. We offer all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So as you heard in the prayer, I'm going to be talking about the prodigal son story today. The story is found in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. So let me read that story for you again. It'll be so familiar to so many of you. But if you haven't heard this story, I pray that God opens your heart and you see yourself somewhere, maybe in several places, as we read this story. So here's what it says. Jesus continued. He says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to feed his pigs. He sent him in the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older brother, or the older son, was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf, and because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because your brother, or this brother of yours, was dead. And he's alive again. He was lost, and he is found. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, here it is. Father's Day. So happy Father's Day, everyone. Today is one of those days when we pause and we honor the men who've helped shape our lives. Now, some of you have had fathers who taught you, they taught you how to work hard. They taught you the proper way to shake hands like a man. They taught you how to fix things with duct tape and determination. And some of you had dads that were quiet, but they were very dependable. Some of you had fathers who prayed with you, who coached you, who disciplined you, encouraged you, and showed you what sacrifice really looks like. And for some of us, Father's Day can bring mixed emotions too. Some carry grief because dad's no longer here. Some carry hurt because the relationship with their father was strained and it was broken. Some are just trying their very best to become the kind of father that they maybe never had themselves growing up. So I want to start this morning with a little bit of trivia. Who knows what day of the year most phone calls are made? Do you know what day of the year that? Mother's Day. Not Father's Day, Mother's Day, the most phone calls are. What do you think happens on Father's Day? Anybody really want to guess? The big claim to fame for Father's Day used to be Father's Day was the day that the most collect calls were ever made. I don't even know if collect calls are a thing that even exist anymore. One little boy once said, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend near as much on the gift. And honestly, there's probably a little bit of truth to that. Moms often get recognized for their nurturing spirit, for their compassion, for their ability to comfort us when life kind of hits us hard and it hurts. There's something special about the way so many moms naturally care for people, whether it be physically or emotionally or spiritually. Meanwhile, Father's Day sometimes feels like society is saying, well, we celebrate moms, we probably should celebrate dads too. You don't usually see athletes scoring that game-winning touchdown and yelling, hi, Dad, into the camera. Years ago, I worked for a pie factory. It was Poppin' Fresh Pies, and then became Baker Square Pies. And when I worked at this factory, it was big. We were all nationwide. But we lost money when I worked at that factory. We lost money 50 weeks out of the year. The company was only profitable for 2 weeks. Those 2 weeks were Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving, and the week of Mother's Day. We made enough money during those 2 weeks, during those just 14 days, to keep the company alive for the rest of the year. Father's Day? I don't think on Father's Day we sold enough pies to even cover the payroll. I heard a story once about two children who begged their mother. Oh, summertime was coming and they begged their mom, Mom, can we bring home the class pet? The class pet, it was summer, so they needed somebody to care for the class pet all summer. And they begged and they pleaded, and the class pet was a hamster named Davy. And they really wanted to bring him home and care for him all summer. And Mom had said no repeatedly because she knew exactly what was going to happen when Davy moved in their house. This pet meant responsibility. Somebody had to feed it. Somebody had to clean up after it. Somebody had to care for this pet every single day. But after, you know how kids are, they can beat you down. After hours and hours of pleading and promises, Mom finally gave in. But she warned them very clearly, if they don't care of Davy, take care of Davy, he'd be gone. Well, you can probably guess what happened. Within a couple of weeks, Mom was doing all the work of taking care of Davy herself. She fed him every day. She cleaned his cage. She was taking care of everything because the kids had lost total interest. Finally, she actually found another family willing to take the hamster, and she sat the children down to explain what had happened. She said, Davy's become too much work for just one person. And since I'm doing all the work myself, I found Davy a new home. To her surprise, the children, they didn't really seem upset at all. One of them even says, is it because he eats too much? Maybe we could train him to eat a little bit less. And Mom explained that it wasn't just the eating. It was the mess. It was that smell. It was all the extra work that just taking care of Davy put on her. The kids actually, they nodded. They thought about it. They nodded thoughtfully, and they went back to watching their TV show. A few minutes later, Mom came through the living room, and she was carrying the cage with Davy in it and all the supplies. And suddenly, the children jumped up, and they shouted, wait, what are you doing with Davy? Mom says, we just talked about this. We found him a new home. The children cried out, no, not Davy. We thought you said Daddy. Our culture has shifted a little, hasn't it? We used to grow up with television fathers like Ward Cleaver and Howard Cunningham, fathers who, while imperfect, were generally portrayed with some wisdom and some integrity. Now, many portals or many portrayals of dads make them look clueless, lazy, foolish, disconnected. Instead of Ward Cleaver, we have Al Bundy as a role model for fathers. And whether we realize it or not, our outstanding of fatherhood really shapes the way that many of us, many people see their relationship with God as well. If your earthly father was distant, you may struggle to believe God is really and truly present. If your father was harsh, maybe you expect God to be constantly punishing you. If you never felt good enough growing up, maybe you assume God must always be disappointed in you too. Sometimes we project earthly father character traits onto our heavenly father. But friends, God is bigger than our earthly experiences. Even the best fathers among us cannot fully compare to the love and the grace that God has for us. And it's not meant as an insult to good dads. It's meant to remind us how incredible the heart of God really is. The Bible gives us our clearest picture of what our Heavenly Father is like. And one of the greatest pictures Jesus ever painted is found in the parable of the prodigal son that we read and heard today. Jesus tells the story of a father and two sons. And honestly, on Father's Day, it's hard not to focus on the father in this story. Because what kind of father keeps watching the road after being humiliated by his own son? What kind of father keeps loving after he's been completely rejected? What kind of father runs towards someone who wasted everything that he had given to them? Most fathers in that culture would never have done that. The younger son demanding his inheritance early was basically saying this. He said to his father, "I wish you were dead." That kind of a disrespect would normally end a relationship. In our culture, it should have ended with shame and separation. But not here. Not in our parable today. This father kept watching the road day after day. This father held hope that there'd be a familiar figure appear in the distance. And when the son finally comes home, dirty and broken, rehearsing his apology, the father doesn't stand there waiting for an explanation. Instead, he runs. He runs to that son. And here's the thing about that. The father running in this story would have shocked anybody in Jesus' audience that day that was hearing this. It would have absolutely shocked those people. Here's why. Because wealthy older men did not run in public. It was humiliating. To run in public was undignified. Yet this father, after being disrespected and mistreated, he lifts his robe and he runs right toward the lost son anyway. Why? Why would he do that? Because love moved him. Grace moved him. Compassion moved him toward his son. I think it's one of the most powerful images in all of Scripture about the true heart of God. And maybe fathers, all fathers, and moms too, maybe they need to hear that today. Fatherhood isn't about being flawless. It's not about always having the right answers. It's not about never making mistakes. It's about being a faithful presence. Just being there, showing up, continuing to love even when life gets messy, keeping the porch light on when someone loses their way. The Father stayed available. The Father, he kept hoping. He kept loving. He kept watching the road. And while I don't want to turn this into another Trinity sermon this morning, since we already talked about the Trinity a few weeks ago, I do think it's beautiful that even here, inside a story focused on a Father's love, we still catch a glimpse of the fullness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of God. We see the heart of the Father and the one who never gives up, never gives up on his child. We see the grace of the Son in the restoration that welcomes the lost back instead of condemning them. And we see the work of the Holy Spirit, what happens after the Son returns. Because in reality, coming home is only the beginning. Now comes the healing. Now comes the growth, the transformation, learning how to live differently than we lived before. That's how God still works in our lives today. The Father loves us before we deserve it. The Son makes restoration possible. And the Spirit keeps shaping us after we realize that we need to come home. But the center of the story today is still the Father, standing at the edge of the road, waiting for his child. Maybe some dads here today needed that reminder. The greatest impact many fathers make is not through perfection, but through a faithful presence. It's through forgiveness. It's through patience. It's through grace that we change our children. Through continuing to love them, even when disappointment creeps in. And for those carrying pain connected to fatherhood today, whether because of loss or a broken relationship or an absent father or disappointment, I hope you hear this clearly. There is still a heavenly Father with a heart who sees you, who loves you, who waits for you with open arms. A Father who still watches the road, waiting to welcome all of his children home. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray together as we prepare to go celebrate Father's Day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace that you've that we have celebrated today. Thank you for being the God who watches the road, who runs toward the broken, who welcomes all of us sinners home. We thank you for these gifts that have been brought before you today, our offerings and our tithes. We would ask, Lord, that you would receive them as signs of our gratitude and our trust. Use them to extend your kingdom, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to care for those in need, to help those who discover the joy of coming home to the Father's embrace. But Lord, we offer more than just these monetary gifts today. Lord, we offer ourselves. So take our hearts and shape them into the likeness of Christ. Teach us to love as you love, forgive as you forgive, and welcome others the way you've welcomed us. Help us to leave this place, not merely as church attendees. Help us to leave as sons and daughters, living in the joy of your grace, Lord. As we go into the week ahead, remind us that no one is beyond the reach of your mercy, and no road is too long for your love not to travel. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.